If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Merkel Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to June 22nd, 2021. Everyone is a domestic terrorist now. Hey, if you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, talk to our sponsor, Tony Arterburn over at Wise Wolf. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold and he will hook you right up. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
In uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I am your host, Charlie Robinson. How is everybody doing? It's a weird time to be living on this planet, I'll tell you. That is for sure. We're in the middle of so many agendas and psychological operations, it's hard to even keep track of them all, I swear. Well, let's start here. Let's start with the people that I appreciate. I appreciate our sponsors a whole lot. Not just because they help to keep the show running, but also because they make my job so much easier because they make quality products. So I don't have to try and like finesse it. I can just say whatever I think about the products because they're well made. C60 Purple Power has been a sponsor with us for a couple of months now. I couldn't be happier. I've been taking their products. I feel great. Been giving them to my cat. She feels great. Well, as great as she can feel at almost 18 years old. She's doing a lot better. Everything is going in the right direction. Ken Schwartz has been on the show to explain to us why he got into this line of work. It's such a fascinating and unusual thing to be selling this C60. What is it? What is C60? Well, it's a naturally occurring molecule comprised of 60 carbon atoms that come together and form this thing that looks kind of like a hollow soccer ball. And the unique structure of this molecule makes it a free radical sponge, at least that's what they call it, with the ability to neutralize these free radicals through your body and reset itself again and again and again. It is the most powerful antioxidant known. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything else out there on the market. The C60 molecule was theorized by Buckminster Fuller back in like the, 60s and 70s, but it took a team of scientists in the late 80s to actually discover it. And when they did, they won the Nobel Prize for it. It is this important. It helps to maximize the efficiency of the cells in producing energy. It may also provide cellular protection against, you know, the toxic environmental factors that we face every single day. It's amazing. I think people should just go to the website, c60purplepower.com, read a little bit about it, read the testimonials, take a look at the science behind it, and see if it's right for you. It's been great for me. I've been thrilled the response from listeners that have emailed me telling me about, you know, that they bought it and that they've been having good results. I appreciate that. It's good to hear. I want the feedback, even if it's negative. I haven't gotten any negative feedback, but I want it, you know. So good on everybody over at C60 Purple Power. They're on top of all of this. They get it. They understand like this battle that we're in against the powers, you know, that be. So to have an operation, to have a company like that, that's a small business that we love to support. It's local to me. It's not too far away from me in Denver. And to be involved with them has been phenomenal. They use top of the line products. It's a little expensive to manufacture, so the products are a little on the expensive side, but use the promo code MACRO, save yourself some money, get free shipping, do all those things, and just go to the website, c60purplepower.com, read a little bit about it, see if it's a fit for you. If it is, pull the trigger. If not, that's cool. No big deal. Maybe later. And also to our good friends over at My Patriot Supply. Oh boy. It's time. It's time, people. If you have been putting off, if you've been, well, manana, you know, I don't need to prepare right now. I mean, surely I'll get noticed before things are going to, you know, the shit's going to hit the fan, right? It'll all become crystal clear to me. Yes, you have been. You've been getting these notifications over the last year. Everything is falling apart. The supply chain is so fragile. The maniacs in Washington, D.C. are making everything 100 times worse. Get yourself prepared. For God's sake, go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and take a look. They've got a couple different products there for you. You've got a 4-week supply of emergency food, and you also have a 3-month supply. I would just say this. Get prepared somewhere. If you don't want to go through this website, there's never going to be a hard sell on my end. It's there for you. It's an option for you if you need it. Preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and you can get yourself all sorted out that way if you want to. If not, every time you go to the grocery store, buy some extra food. Whatever's on your list, add a 5-pound bag of rice, add some beans, add whatever. Start thinking about it like that. Worst case scenario, you got extra food. Best case scenario, you are ready. You have less stress in your body when the shit hits the fan. And it's coming. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's fucking coming. You know, I mean, it's these authoritarian psychopaths that are running our world. They don't have any respect for us. Not at all, except to the extent that we pose a slight problem to them. But if you take that out of the equation, they don't care about you. They'd just as soon see you starve to death and get off their planet. You're taking up too much space. Breathe in their air. That's how they see it. They're maniacs. You gotta get yourself, look, just get yourself prepared here. And I know that I say that at the risk of sounding like Alex Jones, but that's where we are. That's where we are in this world currently in the middle of 2021. We feel it. You know, I feel it. I see the, you know, I watch the news or I read the news or however. I mostly read it. I don't really do too much watching of television, but it's everywhere. There's a darkness about this Biden administration here. Trump was more, well, I mean, there was some heaviness to him as well, but it was more kind of clownish or buffoonish, you know. It was there was a circus element to it. I don't get the fun circus element, like get your popcorn, like I did with Trump. I don't get that with Biden. There's a heaviness to him. I have conflicting thoughts about Joe Biden too. Like, on the one hand, he's a demented old man who's barely capable of stringing a sentence together. That's undeniable. He can't drive. You know, he's got the other guy driving the car. You know that scene a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, maybe it was a month ago, with Biden driving the car and all the reporters, you know, oh, Mr. Biden, what's it like to drive the car? Did you go fast in the car? Does the car go roo, roo, roo? I mean, they talk to him like he's three. Maybe rightfully so. And then he peels out, right, and leaves. But you could see in like those frames that were slowed down, you could see that in the passenger side, there's a guy with a steering wheel there. There's another guy driving. What a perfect metaphor for the situation that we're in right now, right? Biden sitting at the wheel, but the guy next to him has the steering wheel that actually works. That's kind of where we are. I have, and that should give you fear, to be honest with you. I know some people think, wow, hey, at least Biden won't be able to screw things up. Oh, believe me, he's going to be able to screw up plenty. But it should concern people because, okay, if he's not running the show, then who is? It's not that cackling sociopath next to him. We know that. She's incapable of making dinner reservations at the Olive Garden on a Saturday night. She's not running the country. So who is? I mean, is it Eric Schmidt, who Whitney Webb and I jokingly said was? I mean, maybe. He's running the AI department for the Pentagon. I mean, that's a form of running things, I would think. I mean, if you're in charge of that. But it's Biden's team of people, the people that you don't see, that should be the most concerning, because you don't know who they are or you don't know what they want. So he's a puppet. They all are, to an extent. He's the most, I mean, Joe Biden kind of reminds me of, like, you know, the ventriloquist dolls. Like, you can almost see the strings on his mouth, you know? You get the feeling that anybody could be pulling them. You go, well, who's running the show? Who's in charge of the Biden administration? Fuck, I don't know. There's probably 30 different suspects, none of them good, all of them with an agenda. But there's one agenda that's coming from the Biden administration that has me extremely concerned, and you should be too. And I'm not trying to say this to fearmonger or anything like that. Sometimes you just have to say what you see, and if it makes you fearful, then it makes you fearful. It's not an attempt to scare you. You might get scared, but the point is not to scare you. The point is to make you aware. And the point I'm trying to make is that we are all very close to being labeled domestic terrorists. What a blanket statement, too, you know, to call somebody a domestic terrorist. It's the new buzzword, and it should terrify people, because it's just vague enough to cover anybody that gets on the wrong side of his administration. And he's making it a priority, by the way, to go after these people. And the more I read about what they're doing to stomp out domestic terrorism, the more I see flashes of the NKVD back in Stalin's Russia. Secret police, you know, labeling people enemies of the state, disappearing them to gulags or work camps or shooting them in the head on the spot. All these things. Now, I know people will say, well, no, Biden's not doing that. He's not doing that. You're right. He's not yet. But Stalin didn't start off doing that either. It's an incremental process. You know, you don't start with it. You don't immediately start with triple generation deportations to the salt mines. You work up to that. And to be clear, I don't know how this is going to play out with Biden. I don't know if there will be the proverbial salt mines. But I know that his administration is making it a priority to weed out potentially radicalized friends and family. And here's an article from Breitbart. Now, I'm not interested in hearing that Breitbart is skewed to the right. I know that. I know that. But I want to read you this article. It's not too long. Because I think it is, I think it's both chilling and an indicator of where we currently are. And then we can together throughout the end of this episode, extrapolate out where we could possibly be going. So let's start with this. President Joe Biden's administration announced their plans to create ways for Americans to report radicalized friends and family to the government in an effort to fight domestic terrorism. In a conversation with reporters, one senior administration official explained the importance of stopping politically fueled violence before it started. Quote, "We will work to improve public awareness of federal resources to address concerning or threatening behavior before violence occurs," the official said. The official cited the Department of Homeland Security's If You See Something, Say Something campaign to help stop radical Islamic terror as a domestic possibility. Quote, "This involves creating contexts in which those who are family members or friends or coworkers know that there are pathways and avenues to raise concerns and seek help for those who they have perceived to be radicalizing and potentially radicalizing towards violence," the official said. Biden began his presidency with a stark warning in his inauguration speech about the rise in political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat. On June 1st, Biden described the threat from white supremacy as, quote, "the most lethal threat to the homeland today." The Biden administration said it would also work with large technology companies on increasing information sharing to help combat radicalization. Any particular tech company often knows its own platform very well, the official noted. But the government sees things, actually threats of violence across platforms. They see the relationship between online recruitment, radicalization, and violence in the physical world. End quote. The Department of Homeland Security also plans to deploy digital literacy and digital fitness programs to help combat, quote, "malicious content online that bad actors deliberately try to disseminate," end quote. The official reassured reporters that the administration's new strategies would remain laser-focused on stopping violent acts. Quote, "This is a strategy that is agnostic as to political ideology or off the spectrum," the official said. "What matters is when individuals take their political or other grievances and turn that unacceptably, unlawfully into violent action," end quote. The official added that the Biden administration was taking the threat of domestic terrorism seriously and would redirect the focus of intelligence agencies on internal threats. Quote, we are investing many agencies of the government and resourcing them appropriately and asking our citizens to participate. Because ultimately, this is really about homeland security being a responsibility of each citizen of our country to help us achieve. End quote. End article. Oh, where do I even start? This is a strategy that is agnostic as to political ideology? What a bunch of horseshit that is. That is a flat out lie. Politically agnostic? No, it's not. No, it's not. This is about rounding up your enemies. This is what fucking Stalin did with the NKVD. And I remember Janet Napolitano, former director of Homeland Security, saying, if you see something, say something. They have a billboard campaign. I remember seeing billboards. You mean like Julian Assange did? Like when he saw something and then said something? Is that what you're talking about? Or like Reality Winner or Chelsea Manning? Or John Kiriakou? What about them? They all saw something and then said something. What'd you do with them? You put them all in prison. Forgive me if I'm not enthusiastically supporting this horse shit. And you know, we got a little taste of this during Thanksgiving of 2020. When the newly anointed Gestapo in your neighborhood decided that they would take it upon themselves to call the police if they saw too many cars in the parking, in the driveway, or parked in front of the house of one of their neighbors. Little rats. Little weasels. Only weasels do shit like that. And what are we talking about here with the domestic terrorism being the number one threat to the United States? It's not even in the top 100, let alone being the biggest threat. It's what a dishonest statement. I mean, unless you're talking about the FBI, which is the largest domestic terrorist organization on the planet, but and they most definitely are a threat. But I don't believe that that's exactly what they're talking about. I think what they're talking about are people like us. People that don't do exactly what they're told when they're told to do it. People that don't believe the things that the government tells them, that the media tells them. We reserve our right to examine the information, and we'll get back to you if we think that it aligns with how we see the world. That's threatening to them. They want you to shut the fuck up and do exactly what they tell you to do. If you don't do that, you are a domestic terrorist to them. Now, are you planting bombs and doing? No, of course not. I wouldn't know the first thing about making a bomb if I wanted to become a domestic terrorist. And God knows I wouldn't go searching on Google for how to do it, or else the feds would be at my door in 2 seconds. It's never crossed my mind to do anything like that. But it doesn't matter. You see, because what they want to do is change perception. They want you to think and associate people like us with Timothy McVeigh, who is a sheep-dip army officer who wasn't running that. It's a long story. But they want to tie us to Waco, Ruby Ridge, Bundy. They want to tie you to anybody that threatens the government, that makes them feel uncomfortable. Now, to be clear, if the government wanted to put down all of these militia movements, they could easily. I mean, it would be a bloodbath, okay? So I'm not I'm not in those militia movements. I understand that what they're doing and what they're all about. You know, I have no beef with them. But if the United States government and all of their assets in the military decided that they wanted to take them out, they'd be taken out. So it's not about actually stopping domestic terror. And to be clear, crystal clear, I'm not associating those groups with actually being domestic terrorists. I don't think they are. But it doesn't matter, because all you have to do is have the media say that they are. And then you've got a group of the population going, you get them terrorists. There's an agenda here. Biden is laying it out. They're using the Department of Homeland Security like the Gestapo. And they need your help. They need you to rat out your radicalized office coworker or your family member who has wrong think. You know, Stalin did this too. He purged the domestic terrorists after the Bolshevik Revolution. He put them in work camps. He executed them. He ran intelligence networks that were infiltrating them. He had people ratting on their neighbors. He used starvation to get rid of them. I mean, the American government looks at things like this and says, I like what you've done here. How can we incorporate this into our repertoire of terror? We look at Stalin and these things and go, oh my God, that's terrible. It's horrible. I can't believe that happened. I can't believe those poor people. That's not how the government sees the situation. They want to learn from Stalin's mistakes. How can we be better about having secret police? Do you remember the I forget which governor it was. It's hard to keep track of these shitty governors during the COVID thing, but remember, it was, I think it was de Blasio who said, snitches get rewards. You know, there's the old saying, snitches get stitches in jail. And he said, snitches get rewards. That's how the purge begins. You understand? By the way, if you're snitching on people in order to get a reward from the government, you're a total piece of shit. Just, that's an aside. That's also an opinion. But think about this, though. Think about how they said that they were going to start to incorporate big tech into this, into the role of determining who is a domestic terrorist. That should frighten everyone, because big tech has agendas and they have political leanings, and we know where they are. They lean left. So that means their guy's in office. I mean, when you're big tech, every guy is your guy, really. Let's be honest. But it's not just that the companies lean left. The employees of the companies lean left. So now they're under this assumption that their guy is in office and that they can get away with doing some of the things that they've always wanted to do. We've seen through the Project Veritas undercover exposés at Twitter, at Facebook, at Google, they've all been caught on undercover video talking about how they feel about things, about how they want Trump out and how there's a big push to, you know, for Biden and everything. There's political leanings there. It's undeniable. People that think that these corporations are somehow politically agnostic are delusional. It's not true. Corporations are made up of people. They bring in a certain type of people to complete a certain kind of task in the tech world. And it also depends on where they're located. You're talking about San Francisco, which is heavily liberal, being Silicon Valley and the tech epicenter. So you're going to get people that live there that feel that way. And then they're going to staff these companies, and these companies are going to be run that way. So it's not surprising. No, nobody should be, you know, caught off guard that Twitter is left-leaning and doesn't like Trump, of course. But that's who's going to be in charge of not by themselves, of course, but part of a consortium that will be making the distinction between who is and isn't a domestic terrorist. So all you have to do is be a conservative and you're already close to being on their list because they don't like you, because they associate you with Donald Trump and they didn't like him and Orange Man Bad and screaming at the sky. And we saw how they reacted. They broke down mentally. They shit themselves. You've seen the compilation videos of the screaming liberal women in their cars. They're totally fucking unhinged. Those are the people that are going to be in charge of deciding who's a domestic terrorist and who isn't. Now, it's one thing if they're labeling you, if they're going to give you a designation of something that's kind of innocuous, but to be labeled a domestic terrorist can get you killed. It can get you put in a cage for the rest of your life. It can get the FBI knocking at your door. It can get you fired from your job. It can get you divorced from your family. It can get you put in a mental institution if they push it hard enough. This is no joke. The labeling of domestic terrorists is so vague and such a gigantic gray area right now that I think people should start to be aware of where this is going. Now, their reasoning for doing this is so unbelievably flimsy that I'm embarrassed for them. But I want to read you this. This is from Department of Homeland Security's Homeland Threat Assessment. They found that white supremacy accounted for more fatal attacks in the U.S. than any other. That's what they said. White supremacy in the United States led the world. White supremacy attacks that turned fatal, meaning white guys that went after, let's just say black guys, it doesn't have to be black, but white guys who went after black guys, and this was deemed white supremacy in the U.S., it was greater than anywhere else in the world. Are you ready for the statistics? From 2018 to 2019, do you know how many people were killed through white supremacy through a 2-year period inside the United States? 8. It's the number one most, it is, quote, the most lethal threat to the homeland today is white supremacy. In the 2 years, there were 8 murders. That's one every season. Winter, you get one. Spring, you get one. Summer, you get one. Fall, you get one. And then you do it the next year. 8? Don't you mean 8 million? 8. 8 murders. Homeland Security Chief Chad Wolf said, quote, I am particularly concerned about white supremacists, violent extremists who have been exceptionally lethal in their abhorrent targeted attacks in recent years. You want to know how lethal? This was Trump's guy. The statistics he was talking about was there were a total of 39 deaths over 2 years that he tied to this. So you've got one person in the DHS saying that they found that there were 8 fatal attacks. Then you've got another guy in DHS, who's a couple years earlier, saying that he was so put off by this whole thing and their exceptionally lethal attacks and all of this calamity. And it was 39 deaths over 2 years. And I'm not trying to shit on the 39 people that were killed by white supremacists, whatever that means. But that doesn't make it the number one threat. I'm sorry. It just isn't. Would you like to know things that have killed more than white supremacy? 6,000 people die each year from texting while driving. I'd like you to keep this in mind, given the context that one guy is talking about 4 deaths a year and the other person is talking about 20 deaths a year. 6,000 people die from texting while driving. 600 people die from autoerotic asphyxiation. That's when you're jerking off and strangle yourself and accidentally kill yourself. 600. What is DHS doing about autoerotic asphyxiation? It's an epidemic. 600 people. It's not just David Carradine strangling himself in a rubber bondage suit in a hotel in Thailand. I mean, this is happening in the United States. 600 whole people have died. What a fucking embarrassing way to go, too, by the way. I mean, that's got to be rough on everybody involved, right? How'd you like to walk in and find your dead husband in a gimp outfit, you know? It's purple everywhere, probably. 450 people in the United States die from falling out of bed every year. Where is the Department of Homeland Security? I mean, I assume these beds are at home. And we have a Homeland Security Department. Why aren't they wrapping people in bubble wrap every night? Why aren't they doing their jobs? How about the most lethal threat to the homeland today is falling out of bed? Because it's like 50 times more likely to happen than you to get killed by a white supremacist. 34 people die by dogs in the United States. 63 people die each year from lawnmowers. 144 people die each year from constipation. I didn't know you could die from constipation. It's not about actual violent deaths from white supremacists. It's not. It's about an agenda. It's about an agenda that keeps it open and broad and able to fit everybody in this category. Not everybody, obviously. But you got to be white, right? To be a white supremacist. Or do you? You could be like Clayton Bigsby, right? From Chappelle Show, the black KKK member. That would really fuck with Janet Napolitano. I saw something. I want to say something about it. Clayton Bigsby's down there inciting violence. From the DHS report, quote, anti-government and or anti-authority violent extremists are likely to be emboldened by a perceived success exploiting otherwise peaceful protest movements and concealing violent tactics. Anti-government and or anti-authority violent extremists? That's pretty broad. So, I'm in that category, right? Technically. I've been a speaker a couple of times at an anarchist convention. I wrote a book with the guy who started it. That's about as anti-government as you can get. See y'all in a FEMA camp. Anti-authority extremists. That could be anybody. And that's how they like it. They want it open-ended so that they can do whatever they want and say, well, you're a domestic terrorist. Well, define terrorist. Well, we've left that quite wide open through the Patriot Act. You know, because what the Patriot Act did is it said It expanded the definition of the battlefield to include the homeland. So now the homeland is the battlefield. So now you can be a terrorist at home. What do you think the chances are we get a new Patriot Act? A domestic terrorist Patriot Act. It would take something to happen, for sure. It would take an event, wouldn't you say? Like a false flag event that could easily be blamed on domestic terrorists and white supremacists and things like that. You already see this happening in the news. Shooting in Austin, 14 people shot on 6th Avenue, you know, 6th Street, where all the bars are and everything. What did the Austin Statesman, the new local newspaper, say? We didn't want to disclose the race of the shooter for fear of stoking racial hatred. What? Oh, what? Since starting today, you decided to not do that because you've been doing that for 50 years. In fact, that's what you do. Now, all of a sudden, you've decided it's... Would it have anything to do with the fact that the shooter happened to be black and not white? Yeah. Yeah, it had a lot to do with that. We don't want to talk about the black guy shooting because it'll stoke racial violence. Well, if it's a white guy, he'll be on the front page. Everybody, let's talk about how he was a white supremacist and how he was radicalized by Alex Jones and how he might be a domestic terrorist and how he's blah, blah, blah. White nationalist, white power. I mean, it's about narratives. What's interesting, though, is according to the Government Accountability Office, which is acronym GAO that you might hear talked about more so, white supremacy isn't on their list of 26 different threats. It's not on it anywhere. Domestic terrorists and white supremacy, not on it. So how can it be the number one threat for DHS and the FBI, and yet the GAO, it doesn't even have it on the list of 20? It may be 27th, but we don't know because the list only goes to 26. So it hasn't even cracked the top 25. Any of you out there that are veterans, you probably already know this because this happened in 2009, but Homeland Security classifies returning U.S. veterans as potential terrorist threats. Why would that be? This is what they said. The return of military veterans facing significant challenges reintegrating into their communities could lead to the potential emergence of terrorist groups or lone wolf extremists capable of carrying out violent attacks. Returning veterans possess combat skills and experience that are attractive to right-wing extremists. DHS is concerned that right-wing extremists will attempt to recruit and radicalize veterans in order to boost their violent capabilities. They hate veterans, by the way. You know who hates veterans? The United States government. They hate veterans. They like service members. They don't like veterans. They shit on them every chance they get. Go to a VA hospital. See how that goes. See what level of service you get with the rats crawling all over you, which has been reported at many hospitals. You know, they take you out of high school. You know, when you graduate from high school, they give you some sales pitch, talk to you about how great it is, be all you can be, you're going to see the world, you're going to do all these great things. Then they mold you into this little soldier that they want you to be, and then they train you how to be a killer, and they train you how to conduct violent acts because you're in the military. And then when you come, and then they send you to a foreign country to kill these people that did nothing to you. both in a literal sense, and then they didn't do anything to our country. Afghanistan didn't have anything to do with 9/11. Iraq didn't have anything to do with 9/11. If you're just figuring this out, how are you listening to this show if you're just figuring this out? But just know that. And then after they've trained you, taught you how to kill, put you in an impossible situation overseas where you were forced to do things you didn't want to do simply because you want to come home and see your mom. And then when you do come home, they say, good luck at the VA. Maybe if you need some help, these Wounded Warrior Foundation will step up to help you out. But we're not going to help you out. And then they then demonize you for the skills that they taught you and say that you're going to be a domestic terrorist when you come back because you have those skills. Maybe you will. Maybe you will want to. Maybe you will have done some shit overseas that scrambled your brain and made you feel like, what am I doing? And you come back and you have real guilt. And you've got a real problem with the government now. Now you see it crystal clear. Now you see through all the lies and you come back here. They're worried about that. Do you know why? Because they know you have a good reason to be furious with them. And you know what? If I had been through that and I came back and I saw what they saw and I felt the way they felt, I'd have a problem with the government too. And they know it. So now you're a threat to them. So much for loyalty. Loyalty is a one-way street when you're dealing with the United States government. Don't ever forget that. They will sell you out immediately. The first chance they get, whenever it benefits them. But isn't it interesting that it's always right-wing extremists? Now, I'm not on the right or the left. But it always seems to be the right-wing extremists that they're freaked out about, or at least the media's freaked out about. Why is that? Oh, I know, because the media is left-leaning and liberal. That is undeniable. I know, you can hold out Fox or OAN, you know. There's a couple of the conservative ones. But the overwhelming majority are left-leaning. And since they are the ones that get to set the narrative in the media, anybody that is a domestic terrorist is going to be a right-wing domestic terrorist, not a left-wing one. What about BLM? BLM's, aren't they a domestic terrorist organization? I mean, I don't know about you, but I watched them destroy city after city after city in 2020. If that's not domestic terrorism, I don't know what it. Oh, sorry, it's mostly peaceful protesting. I almost forgot because I'm watching the news that is being delivered to you from the left. So they call it mostly peaceful protest. And the CDC says you have to stay in your house and you have to social distance unless you're out protesting for BLM, and then it's totally fine. Because that makes sense. What about it? Is cybercrime? Is that all right-wing terrorists too? What about actual foreign influence in U.S. activities? Not this Russia did it, Russia rigged the elections, horseshit. They're terrorists. They're rigging the election. Stop. China's influencing, China's manipulating. Look. You want to talk about foreign interference in the United States? And we're not talking about Israel? And we're not talking about the United Kingdom? In Saudi Arabia are quote allies. If you're not talking about that when you're talking about international or foreign influence, then you're not having a real conversation about it. If you're only if the only three foreign entities that you have to be concerned about are Russia, China, and Iran, then you're not being intellectually honest about it. Sorry, you're not. If Israel and the UK and Saudi Arabia isn't in the conversation, then it's not a conversation worth having. Because then it's just, you're just cherry picking your enemies at that point. And you're not being honest about it. I mean, because if we're talking about foreign meddling in an election, Israel wrote the book on it. Period. The United States can blame Russia all they want, but that is an embarrassment to say that and not identify the elephant in the room. From Yahoo in 2019, FBI document warns conspiracy theories are a new domestic terrorism threat. Here we go. Conspiracy theories are terrorism now. That's Yahoo. Yahoo hasn't been relevant since 2004, but whatever. In that article, they went on to talk about QAnon and Pizzagate, and that the Clintons were involved in child trafficking, which is 100% true. QAnon is horseshit, and we've known that from the beginning. Comet Ping Pong, well, you know, there's some questions there. James Alefantis, 49th most powerful man in Washington, D.C., guy owns a pizza place. In a city where you have the most powerful people in the world, and this guy cracked the top 50? I have questions. Do I think they're running it out of that place? No, I don't. Do I think these people are involved in it? Yeah, I do. But you can't even say that. You can't even have the conversation about it, because now you could be a domestic terrorist. Domestic terrorist is just somebody that believes things that they don't want you to believe. I mean, what about Bigfoot? What if you're way into Bigfoot? Shout out to my man, Tony Merkel, who runs The Confessionals, which is the best Bigfoot show out there. You're talking about things, or you're thinking about things that aren't exactly in line with mainstream thought. Are they domestic terrorists now? Are they weaponizing Bigfoot? Be so rad if they were. FBI now classifies domestic terrorism into four categories: racially motivated violent extremism, anti-government / anti-authority extremism, animal rights / environmental extremism, and abortion extremism. Those are the four types of domestic terrorists you get: abortion people, animal rights / environmental people, anti-government people, and racially motivated people. And I bet we could find somebody who's all four of them. We'd have to look. Something tells we could find him. And when we do, I'll have them on my show. The FBI is actually the biggest domestic terror group in the country. Let's just get real about things, okay? Oklahoma City, 9/11, Martin Luther King. FBI's fingerprints are in all that stuff. Hey, look, we caught a new guy. We caught this guy. He was going to go shoot up everything. Turns out he's been talking to an undercover FBI agent for a year now, and the FBI and that agent supplied him with the bomb-making materials, and then we arrested him. I mean, they do this all the time. They set up low IQ patsies. They you want to talk about radicalizing people? You know who does the most radicalizing is the FBI. They go in these chat rooms and get these dummies. They get them all fired up and they say, "Yeah, let's go fucking do it, man. Let's take this government down." And they go, "Okay, I guess." And then next thing you know, it's Richard Reeb, and he's getting on an airplane trying to light his shoe on fire. Or you've got Abdul Muttalib, who tries the underwear bomber, tries to light his balls on fire. these two guys are the criminal masterminds that are going to blow. I mean, it's embarrassing. And then here the FBI just sort of, see, we jumped in, we saved the day. You didn't save anything. You go dig into Oklahoma City bombing, okay? You want to get real about what's actually, you want to get real about domestic terrorism? Look into Oklahoma City. Look into the FBI's role in Oklahoma City. They did that attack. And they're going to have the audacity to label us domestic terrorists for not trusting them? Get the fuck out of here. It's insulting. The FBI is so involved in all of these things. I mean, if you want to go after an actual domestic terrorist, why don't you go arrest Susan Rosenberg, who's the number three at BLM? Clinton pardoned her. She was sitting in a prison cell. She was going to be in there for 50 years for bombing a federal courthouse. She's quite literally a domestic terrorist, convicted in court, sentenced to 50 years. No, I think she was sentenced to 60 years. Clinton pardoned her on his way out the door with all his other criminal buddies. And guess who's in charge of the financing? Who's the CFO, so to speak, over at Black Lives Matter? Susan Rosenberg, an actual convicted domestic terrorist. But please explain to me how it's the right that's doing all of this. They think they're going to stop a lone wolf. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, if some guy wakes up one morning, he gets fired the day before, he's had it, his wife has left him, he's got nothing left to, and that guy has decided he is going to take things into, I'm going out hard, man. You can't stop that guy. You think some new Patriot Act is going to do that? What are you going to do? Arrest him for pre-crime? You check some of the boxes of people that go postal. You know, you got fired, wife left you, you said some things on social media. How would you stop that? I'll tell you how you would stop it. With a pre-crime artificial intelligence algorithm. Or at least that's what they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you that guy could have been stopped if only the laws were changed, so that it would allow us the flexibility that we need for these particular instances. We would never use it any other time. Just every now and then, if only you had allowed us this power, we could have stopped that guy, but we didn't. We didn't, and he went and did the thing that he did, and now, oh, now we're going to have to pass the Domestic Patriot Act, domestic terrorist version. Patriot Act 2, Electric Boogaloo, take your choice. We could have a contest to see who could name this piece of shit that we know is coming our way, that we know will take away more of our freedoms, that we know will make the internet more transparent. He was radicalized online. We would have known it if we knew who he was, but he was using an alias and a VPN and we couldn't track him. Oh, well then, let's make it so VPNs are illegal. Let's make it so that you have to have an internet ID card in order to get on the internet. Problem, reaction, solution. Here you go. Artificial intelligence running pre-crime? That's Minority Report. Philip K. Dick wrote about that in the 60s. It's happening. It's a dangerous time because the government can just make, when they set a term like domestic terrorist, just the name itself is so vague. What is terror? Classify it. What is a terrorist? Define that. Domestic means somebody in the United States. Okay, great. You've narrowed it down to 340 million people. maybe there will be, I don't know, 99 million of us left after the vaccine, according to Deagle. Just saying. Anybody that questions what these criminals in Washington, D.C. are doing is liable to be labeled a domestic terrorist. And then watch as they retroactively go back through your history to build a profile of you. I mean, I think right now is probably a good time for you guys to all be very thankful that you don't have a podcast that is railing against the government and have made yourself a big, gigantic target because you've got tens of thousands of people listening to you and they want to shut you up. So, yeah, I'm not sure who my cellmate will be in the FEMA camp, but I hope they don't snore. Now I'm being a bit facetious with this stuff, but I recognize the magnitude of this and the seriousness of it. And I think that we're going to need to be more aware of this and less enthusiastic about cheerleading some of this stuff. We might have gotten it wrong back in 2001, 2, 3, with the Patriot Act and all of that. You know, there still was, a lot of people really thought that 9/11 happened the way it was purported to happen. And therefore, they were particularly concerned about foreign terrorism and because they saw what they believed to be the results of that. And so the Patriot Act came and it seemed like, well, maybe it'll be kind of temporary for everyone that was naive to how it all really works. But I ask you this, are you still taking your shoes off to get on an airplane? That's the Patriot Act. It's never going away. So what sort of new restrictions would be rolled out during a domestic terrorist version of the Patriot Act? It's less liberties for all of us. But we're being safe. We're protecting you from what could happen. I'm more concerned about what could happen from our own government than I am about a domestic terrorist. Are there shitheads out there? Absolutely. Are there white supremacists out there? Yes. Are they the number one threat to America? No, they're not even according to their list, they're not even in the top 26, according to the GAO. I think if you asked real people, not people that are watching CNN or MSNBC or anything like that, I think if you asked real people where white supremacy ranks on their fears on a day-to-day basis, I think that you would probably hear close to zero, if not at the bottom. Now, that might be easy for me to say as being one of the whitest white people you'll ever see, but let me ask you this. How many terrorist operations are the Ku Klux Klan planning these days? I think maybe they had a little bit of a more prominent role about, 70 years ago. But if the Klan has got you all freaked out, then you definitely live in the South. But also, I don't think that warrants this overreaction. But of course, we know what it's really about. It's not actually about that. It's about going after people that don't believe the narrative and that are troublemakers. And I would say within that category, a subcategory that they really, really want to demonize are anybody that likes guns. So, we talked about this and speculated about it before. A false flag attack that demonizes gun owners. Hell, I mean, every one of them is like that, it seems like. but then you wrap it in with a, you know, expect a domestic terrorist with an AR-15 to shoot up a bunch of people and then find his manifesto that, you know, will be written by some FBI agent, no doubt, where he A, confesses, and B, says, you know, I was radicalized because of Alex Jones, and I read this book, The Octopus of Global Control, and it made me want to go postal, and all, you know, whatever. I mean, they'll just make it up. However we can demonize a group of people, that's how we'll do it, and we'll use the media as a tool to get everybody whipped up into a frenzy, hunting down these domestic terrorists wherever they are. Hey, don't fall for it, okay? You can acknowledge that there is domestic terrorism on some level without having to sign on that it is the most pressing issue of our time. It's just not. It's statistically not, and it reality wise, it's not. It's not. It's part of an agenda. It's part of an agenda to demonize people that don't look like Arab hijackers. You know, ultimately their goal is to make sure that everybody appears to possibly be a terrorist, so that whenever they decide they want to take somebody out, they just say they look like a terrorist. I mean, the Native American terrorists, you know, you can almost see it. It's pathetic, and it's here to stay. It's here to stay for the Biden administration, unfortunately. The irony of them being the biggest domestic terrorists is not lost on me. Anyway, if you like this episode, please take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and your family members. I appreciate it. Send me an email too. Go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Take a look at the merchandise store. We got crazy shit. You want to be put on a domestic terrorist watch list? I've got some items that you can buy, like coffee mugs and things like that, that if you take them to your work, you will most definitely be put on this list. And if you are, then I will see you in a FEMA camp nearby. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.